Hey, everybody, what happened to Chicago? Kind of an impromptu conversation with Steve Moore. Then we talk about the Biden administration's lack of business expertise and inflation. We also talk to Jason Miller from Getter about what's going on online and how TikTok is like giving your child heroin. So if you don't want your child to be on heroin, then don't have them have TikTok. That's right. I talk about it a little bit on this program, but I have done a deep amount of study and research, and there's a growing body of literature that shows the main reason why your kid or grandkid is anxious, depressed, doing marijuana, might not be feeling the way that they should. It's because of their screen time, largely driven by these apps, by foreign oligarchs. Provocative? Yes. True? You betcha. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support and get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Come to our Student Action Summit. You guys know who's going to be there. Trump, DeSantis for Turning Point Action, Turning Point USA, Ingram, Gutfeld, and so much more. tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is a great American. I've known him for quite some time, Steve Moore. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie. Thanks so much for having me. Great to be with you. And you are a great American, so it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. We've known each other for a while, and both from Chicago, and unfortunately that whole state has been largely destroyed. So you have this great.
Did you see that Ken Griffin moved out of Chicago? There's a great article about him. I know this isn't the subject of our conversation, but it's really important. It showed that he has given hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to the museums, the orchestra, to food banks. He's one of the most philanthropic guys. And I don't think anybody in the history of Illinois has given more to the civic institutions of Chicago. And he finally had to leave because of the high taxes and the high crime rate in the city of Chicago. And it just shows what happens when liberals ruin a place, because all these institutions are like, how are we going to replace Ken Griffin's money? That's a good question. Maybe you shouldn't have chased him out of the state.
And it was, you're exactly right. So ran a company called Citadel and started it right there in downtown Chicago, enormously successful.
Yep.
You could point to so many of the beauty of Chicago because of his generosity and philanthropy. Yep. And you actually look at why he left. In the report, there were three Citadel employees that were mugged on the way to work, Steve. I mean, you and I grew up in Chicago. I mean, this is River North. This is not, you know, near Comiskey or U.S. Cellular, right? This is the heart of Chicago where people are being mugged at 8 or 9 in the morning or at 5 or 6 at night. Actually, I know you're not here to talk about it, but Steve, just really quick on the Chicago thing. I mean, it's just tragic. Boeing is now left. Yep. Caterpillar.
So Caterpillar's gone. Citadel's gone. And you're right. And they actually had to shut down for several weeks the theater district in Chicago because it wasn't safe for people to go to theater. My point is that, you know, and this is happening now in New York City. It's happening in San Francisco. It's happening in Los Angeles. Our great cities are being destroyed by wokeism and this big government socialism. So it's a warning, America.
It is. And the violent crime thing is just totally out of control. And a question people have, and Steve, maybe you could add some context to this, is why don't they course correct? I mean, it's so obvious Chicago's become a wasteland. I was just in Chicago yesterday, and I just picked up a mailer at somebody's house I was at of just all the real estate listings. And I was shocked at how cheap real estate is in some of these communities versus what I'm used to kind of seeing here in Phoenix or in Florida. It's obvious property values are down, violent crime is up, population is decreasing. Is it just kind of one of the things Lori Lightfoot and J.B. Pritzker want to rule over the ashes? Like, what's your interpretation of someone who loves the state of Illinois like I do?
First of all, Charlie, I mean, it breaks my heart because I think of Chicago as one of the 10 greatest cities in the world.
I totally agree with you. Yes.
And so, I mean, to see what's happened is heartbreaking, and it will come back. But there will be, and you mentioned Lightfoot and Pritzker. I mean, two of the worst maybe the worst mayor in America and maybe the worst governor in America.
Maybe.
And the joke is, I'm not, Charlie, the Democrats are talking about running Pritzker for president.
Well, I mean, this is going to sound crude. He's never run for anything in his life, but continue. Yes. So,
yeah. I mean, so it's almost comical that the two leading Democrats for the presidency in 2024 right now are Gavin Newsom, who's destroyed California, and J.B. Pritzker, who's destroyed Illinois. And that shows you how short their bench is. And I'll just end this little conversation about this by saying, folks, guess what state that Ken Griffin moved to?
Florida. That's right. The free and open state of Florida. And that is the question. So just one other thought on this, Steve, before we get to your wonderful report here, is that there is a conventional wisdom. There's there is a talking point that once Illinois hits rock bottom, it will reverse course. I don't think that's the case anymore. It just seems as if there is just kind of an enjoyment of misery between the Democrats there. As long as they're in charge, they don't care.
You know, I'm kind of glad we're having this conversation because I've lived in Chicago during the 60s and 70s. I went to the University of Illinois. Since then, I've lived in the swamp and watched, but I still have all my family in Chicago. And one of the big parts of the history of Chicago was Richard Daley. Mm-hmm. He was a Democrat. He was, there was a lot of, hanky panky going in Chicago, but they called Chicago the city that works.
That's a nice way to put it.
At least you knew who you had to pay off to get stuff done.
Yep.
And Chicago worked. And that's the old fashioned Democrat, right? Now the new Democrats, nothing works.
That's right.
Nothing works. And the whole thing just,
I think that's so insightful. I've said for the longest time, I will take the most corrupt, back dealing Democrat in a second over an ideologue. I mean, okay, fine. You're paying off some developer, some contractor.
Right.
You have some, I guess, some.
It's just a cost of doing business.
Yeah, it's built into it. But, it's kind of this old thing back in the. There's a true story. I mean, Mayor Daley got John F. Kennedy elected through widespread voter fraud. That's proven. And so Mayor Daley Sr., not Jr. And there's kind of this story where he asked all this money for Jack Kennedy for federal aid to rebuild Chicago. And he asked for something like $25 million to put in a transit system and all this. And he's like, hey, this project's only going to cost us $10 million. We'll be able to divide the $15 amongst all of us. And he said, we can get it done quickly. And actually, you look at today, it would cost, even adjusted for inflation, 10 times that. And so
the new saying is that the new Democrats are just too incompetent to even bribe.
Yeah, exactly. No, I've always said ideological a misguided ideology is far more dangerous than graft and corruption. Okay, so now speaking of incompetency, you have this wonderful story out, exclusive, ship of fools. 62% of Biden officials who handle economic policy have 0 years of business experience. What exactly do they have experience in then?
Yeah, so this explains everything, doesn't it? About why it is that the wheels have come off the economy, why we're facing potentially very, very deep and painful recession, because these people are not just ideologues. It gets to our discussion. They're definitely ideologues, but they're also incompetent. And that's a bad combination. And so you have people with no idea what they're doing. The majority of the people that Biden has appointed to positions of power that have authority over our economy, finance, commerce, transportation, those kinds of things that have to work, the majority of them, Charlie, have zero business experience. And I'm not saying that they have zero experience running a business. I'm saying they haven't even worked for a business. I mean, these people can't run a lemonade stand because they've never even worked for a lemonade stand. And that tells you a lot. And it's not an accident, Charlie. It's not like, oh, gosh, we forgot to hire some business people. They hate business. This was intentional.
And they're probably almost all academics, I would imagine.
They're academics. Biden call himself? What did Obama call himself? A community organizer.
Yeah, or a Cass Sunstein type, right? Which is the managerial class, right?
Yes.
So that they're big on administrative state and managerialism. It is this emphasis on the managerial and unelected bureaucratic elite. So a lot of academics, a lot of people that are just kind of in lifelong bureaucrats. And 62% that have never even been in a business setting, let alone run a business.
Well, let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about. So you may know, I've heard of this woman, Lena Khan. She's 31 years old, so she's, you know, pretty wet behind the ears. She has just been a university professor with all these kind of lunatic ideas of business. Of course, she's never worked for a business, let alone started one. And now she's running the Federal Trade Commission, which gives her oversight. This woman who knows nothing about business is now telling businesses how to operate their businesses, what they can and can't do. I mean, that's insanity. I mean, why would you put someone like that in that kind of a position? And so that's just one little example. Let's take another one. Pete Buttigieg. I mean, Pete Buttigieg seems like a nice guy. I don't have anything against Pete, you know, but he's in charge of the supply chain problem. He's in charge of transportation. He knows nothing about transportation. He couldn't even fill the potholes in South Bend.
And they're legitimately terrible in South Bend.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'll just give you one other example. I mean, Jennifer Granholm. She's in charge of the energy program. I mean, she hates energy. She hates American energy. She hates the fossil fuel industry. And she's done if her job is to shut down the American energy, then I guess she gets pretty high grades.
It's incredible. So just this morning, we received information that the euro has fallen below dollar parity. Yep. What does that mean?
It means the Europe is a mess. It's a catastrophe. Look, I'm really worried, Charlie, about the world economy right now. We are the hub of the world economy, and every other country is a spoke. And when America gets it wrong, as we did in the 70s under Nixon, Ford, and Carter, and as we're getting it wrong now, unfortunately, we spread these bad policies throughout the world. When Reagan was president, guess what? The whole world moved towards freedom. And that's what's so frightening to me, is that we have so big government socialism spreading all over the world right now. And Charlie, where are the Margaret Thatchers? Where are the Reagans? Where are the Trumps? Where are the Winston Churchills? I can't find one on the world stage right now.
It's just remarkable. Inflation news was pretty awful yesterday. What does that mean? And I think inflation numbers even higher than that. I think the way they calculate inflation is very misleading. What is your take?
Yeah, you know who also agrees with us? About 75% of Americans. Yes. When I go on Fox or some of these other shows, you know, and I say we've got, you know, 9% inflation, people get angry at me. They email me or they text me and they say, what are you talking about? More? It's not 9%, it's 15%, or I'm facing 20% inflation with my groceries and my gas and my rent. And so you're right about that. We have runaway prices, and it was so obvious. You'll love this story, Charlie. Last year, about this time, there were 20 Nobel Prize economists and about 30 other leading economists at American universities who said in a big piece in the New York Times, don't worry, Biden's policies will not cause inflation. Don't you think maybe they should just retire or give up their PhDs?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's just there's been no. And what's been amazing, though, Steve, and it's just more temperamental, it's just kind of more observational about their temperament, is that we've never received an apology on any of this.
Exactly. None of them apologized. None of them.
Or no correction. Like, oh, yeah, we got it wrong.
I was wrong. I gave the Americans such bad advice. I hate to tell you this, but we got a new statistic that came out just this morning, a few hours ago. Now producer prices are up 11.3%. And when producer prices go up, Charlie, guess what? That means that consumer prices have to go up. So this idea that we've hit peak inflation, oh, by the way, they've been saying that for 9 months, right? Oh, we were at peak inflation. It keeps getting worse and worse. You know, I shouldn't be laughing about this because this is, and it's hurting the poor and the middle class the most. Gee, I thought this was an administration that was going to do something about reducing income inequality. No. We've seen a massive increase in income inequality under Biden's policies.
It's the best time ever to be a billionaire. And
exactly.
They're doing better than ever. And regular, normal, everyday people are getting crushed. And you're exactly right. I mean, this idea that on the supply side, we should do nothing and just completely artificially create monetary stimulus on the demand side. Well, look what happens. I'm afraid.
Well, I guarantee you, Charlie, that if Donald Trump were still president, I'm biased. I worked for Trump and helped him on the economy. This economy would be booming now.
It would be.
The American people made it.
And what's so tragic, Steve, is that we would be the envy of the world, because not only would we be amazing, all these other countries would be a mess, and now we're a mess with these other countries. It's just such a disappointment. Steve Moore, thank you so much. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Good to be with you.
You too. See you soon. Look, there's a must-see movie you got to check out at salemnow.com called Michelle Obama 2024, her real-life story and her plan for power. Film director Joel Gilbert, I know Joel, great American, takes a deep dive into the life of Michelle Obama, from Chicago to Princeton to Martha's Vineyard. He says Michelle Obama will run for president in 2024 and base her candidacy on a life story that is more racially divisive and nearly as fictitious as that of her husband, Barack Hussein. Check out the stunning new movie on Salem Now, Michelle Obama 2024. Michelle is following the same formula as Barack to become president, a best-selling autobiography, the keynote convention speaker, and a voter registration organization. First, Barack and now Michelle want to transform America. Michelle Obama 2024, now playing at salemnow.com. This new movie has stunning, game-changing revelations about Michelle Obama's past. The film director says only the truth can stop her. Michelle Obama 2024, watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD on salemnow.com. With us right now is the man behind Getter, Jason Miller. Jason, welcome to the program.
Early, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. So Elon Musk pulls out of the Twitter deal. It's a little unclear what's happening with all of that. Can you game this out for us? How do you see this ending? Twitter is suing Elon. You know, some people thought the deal would never go through altogether. Thankfully, we have Getter as this amazing, you know, robust free speech platform. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so even though Twitter obviously is a competitor and it would hurt if Elon Musk took over, what Elon Musk was trying to do with Twitter was the right move for free speech. He was trying to get some sense of normalcy back to the bluebird, try to get some kind of control back for our voices. But what he found, what he ran into, was this brick wall of liberal ideology, where he realized the culture of that company was not going to change even if he was in charge. So now this thing looks like it's going to explode. You have Musk, you have Twitter, they're fighting each other. I don't know who's going to win on the legal side, but there is the big question of what's actually going to be left. I mean, it's essentially a pile of rubble at this point.
Yeah, and just how many bots and trolls they have at Twitter, it's just extraordinary. So Jason, I want to ask you, you know, there's some questions that a lot of our audience has about kind of the state of social media online and kind of conversation online and social media in general. A question that I have for you is, how is Getter navigating this from your perspective? You guys have been up and running for quite a while, you know, very well respected, lots of users. How are you navigating this discourse going into the midterms, and especially with kind of the regime of social media starting to fall apart?
Yeah, great question, because what we're seeing are really two separate conversations that are happening on social media. You have the traditional, the timelines, the scrolls. You obviously have that with Getter. You have that, say, on the Twitters, the Facebooks. Obviously, the more you go into Twitter and Facebook, the more heavily politically discriminatory they are, and certain viewpoints aren't being shared. But you also have, with a lot of the younger folks, people you're working with at Turning Point USA and the other efforts that you do, that are much more into the TikToks, the Instagram Reels, the short video format. That's why we launched Vision, which is now our competitor to TikTok and Instagram Reels. It's a part of Getter. And you've been great posting on there as well. So we brought those conversations together. This is the key, because if you look to the younger generation, they're moving much more to this format. And so if we want to be able to connect with them, as people, putting on my political hat for a moment, we're going to have to talk to them in that manner and not just on the timelines.
So you did a segment recently about TikTok, and I'm very blunt about TikTok. I tell young people all the time, if you want to be depressed and hate yourself, be super anxious and get on psychiatric drugs, then use TikTok. The only thing that you'll get out of TikTok is depression, is dopamine overdose, dopamine deficiency, neurological disorders. Literally, TikTok is one of the most dangerous applications, I think, for a young mind that I could possibly think of. For parents out there, if your child is using TikTok, if you want your child to be depressed, then have them use it. Let me tell you really quick before, Jason, I have you chime in on this. The reason is that we have 5,000-year-old circuitry that was meant to be in the wild, that was meant to go hunt and gather and literally chase our prey to the point of exhaustion. And what do? There is more pleasure released in a 5 to 10 minute spurt when a child is going through TikTok than our ancestors would have got in 20 years. And we put that, it is the largest open air drug experiment in the history of humanity. And we just give these kids these phones and we hope it works out. You say that TikTok wants a psychographic analysis of our kids. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's not that they want to. They already have it. Because think about the algorithm that TikTok has. They literally, they know what you're going to like. They know what you're going to repost or share with your friends before you even do it. That's why they're feeding it to you. Now, you have TikTok, you have their parent company, ByteDance, which is effectively run by the CCP. Anyone who's doing business, any Chinese company that's in operations, the way that they've put in their surveillance requirements, the CCP has access to everything. We know from BuzzFeed that TikTok people, the moderators, the executives in China can access Americans' data. So now you have the CCP, you have the Chinese Communist Party, that's actually the ones who have access to the data. They're going to know with this next generation, the TikTok generation in America, what our people are going to like before they even go and like it. That's scary when you think about the way it can be manipulated.
Yeah, totally. And I really want to reiterate this for parents and grandparents. You have to intervene yourself to this. TikTok is destroying kids. So it's no correlation, by the way, that we have the most depressed, suicidal generation. Because the circuitry, I believe, designed by God, was not meant to stare at a screen all day long. It's not meant to flip through and have instant pain and pleasure reactions. And I say this, you know, it kind of gets kids' eyes wide open. I say, here's how you can know you're a lab rat. For example, if you open up Twitter, or if you open up Instagram, or if you open up TikTok, for example, there's a short pause before, you've probably seen this, right, Jason, when you go on some of these apps. So it's like a 2.5 second pause. For example, you open up Instagram and it just says the logo and then you go in. Why is that? Well, it's neurologically proven through the testing of your 7, 8, and 9-year-olds that 2.5 delay spikes up your dopamine. Ooh, what's coming for me? What reward might be waiting for me? This is treating our children as if they are products. And most parents have no idea what's happening. Let's talk about the CCP angle, though, that you mentioned, which is, Donald Trump tried to ban TikTok. Why is this even allowed in our country? Why have we not totally shut this down? Why are our lawmakers more worried about sending money to Ukraine?
Because too many lawmakers are scared about upsetting what they believe parents want, which is to essentially stick devices in front of their kids and say veg out for hours at a time. And they don't want to upset who they view are the soccer moms or the swing voters in many of these districts. Fortunately, we do have some strong leadership that's out there, whether it be FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr, even Mark Warner, the Democrat from Virginia, Marco Rubio, of course, the senator from Florida. They've taken action and saying, wait a minute, guys, we're concerned about what's happening with the data here and the fact that a foreign entity is now going to be accessing all the essentially the psychographic analyses of millions and millions of Americans, but everyone's turning a blind eye. It's really scary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, afraid to offend soccer moms. Okay, let me just be very blunt. TikTok is the equivalent. It's digital heroin. So if your child was doing heroin, do we say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm really worried that we're going to offend meth addicts because we're going to run against fentanyl and methamphetamines? No, we have no idea what we're dealing with on a fundamental and neurological level. So, Jason, in closing here, tell us just some plans that you have for Getter. We're using Getter a lot. We're partnering a lot of things. You're sponsoring Student Action Summit. What are the plans in this highly competitive landscape?
Very competitive. We think that we're rising above the pack with the way that we've combined Getter to make it the essentially the all-in-one free speech platform with the timeline, with the short video format, with live streaming, which you live stream your show, as does Real America's Voice, which we're very glad to be partners with. And we're putting this together. But as we start building out, we're really focusing on how we build the community. Different things, whether it's having a polling feature, whether it's having a meetup feature, different groups in communities, really start build that up so people would actually get together in person. People still do that, even in this this online or this metaverse world. People get together in person in activities, and especially we have a big campus push that's going to be coming up this fall to start getting some of our young people on the platform, which will be great. You got to be at least 16 to have a Getter account, so that we do draw a different line than say TikTok and some of the other platforms. But we definitely want to get our college students on the platform and active.
Jason from Getter, Jason Miller, thank you so much. Hope to see you soon. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. Let me play you a piece of tape here from something that's really been going viral. It's extraordinary. So we talked about this a little bit, but I don't think I had an opportunity to build this out as deeply as I wanted to. So let's play this tape here, which is cut 12 from this. We already played that. Let's play cut 35. If you haven't seen this tape, it's incredible. Josh Hawley and Professor Bridges from University of California, Berkeley. I want to build this out because if you're sending your child to college, this is the type of nonsense that they are consuming. I've seen this clip four times. It does not get old. I get something new out of it every single time. And this is not some sort of one-off. And by the way, it's not just colleges. I want you to frame this entire thing you're about to see with Josh Hawley a little bit differently. This is in our military. Play cut 35.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing them.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that one out of five transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying dangerous. That trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think
so.
So
you are denying that trans people exist? Thank
and
you.
That leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this?
Where no,
they're told that they're opening up people to violence.
I can't stand smug people. I can't stand them. I just want to say one quick thing about this idea of one in five transgender youth try to commit suicide. Okay. So it's a very important distinction to understand this, is that if you are transgender, you're suffering under a mental condition called gender dysphoria. You're suffering under a delusion that is disconnected from reality. Therefore, you're more likely to have other potential mental issues and mental problems, such as self-harm, suicidal ideation. And so what she is trying to say is, well, transgender people are commit suicide because of all of you. Let's be honest about this. Not every single person who tries to commit suicide is obviously a transgender person, but people that are suffering under that delusion, suffering under that issue, have a much higher likelihood, regardless of how they're treated by other people, of wanting to harm themselves. I say that with compassion, but she is now trying to loop in a senator from Missouri on how kind of questions he's asking, because young people that are dealing with something very serious is somehow his fault. Just needs to be said.
Hey, everybody. This Common Sense is brought to you by the folks at SecondVote.com. Amazing people who are fighting back against woke corporations. Subscribe now at SecondVote.com, promo code Charlie.
Good afternoon. I'm Rebecca Hatfield, president of Second Vote. We've had uniquely American common sense since 1776, but now we're in the age of common nonsense. Today's nonsense comes from the big corporations fighting the Supreme Court. They can't accept the conservatives have won three huge victories. So they're trying to overpower the court's legitimate decisions, and they're using your hard-earned dollars to fund it. On Life, the court finally overturned Roe versus Wade. So some companies are paying for employees to travel to states where they can get an abortion. It's the usual suspects like Target, Starbucks, and Dick's Sporting Goods, but also others like Macy's, Netflix, and Airbnb. On the Second Amendment, the court clarified that we have a constitutional right to carry a firearm. So 200 CEOs signed a letter demanding gun control. It's just common sense that you have the right to carry a firearm everywhere, but woke liberals don't want you to be able to protect yourself. On religious liberty, the court ruled that, of course, a high school football coach has the right to pray after games. So woke CEOs promised to further remove religion from our lives. HR policies will stop employees from celebrating their faith at work. And big tech will continue to censor and silence Christian voices. These crucial issues are why Second Vote does the research to expose big corporations by scoring hundreds of companies on traditional American values. And we want you to use Second Vote research to make better choices with your money. So please make sure to arm yourselves every day with the knowledge you need to shop smart and stop funding the left. I'm Rebecca Hatfield, president of Second Vote, reminding you that your first vote is at the ballot box, but your second vote is with your wallet.
Make sure you go to secondvote.com and subscribe now using promo code Charlie for just $40 for a whole year. That's secondvote.com, promo code Charlie. I know you're thinking right now, man, what is the hope for the country? Because I know there's so much negativity that happens here, and we have to continue to show that there is hope and some of the things that we are doing are really working. I want to play this tape here. He's not an American. I grew up with Serbs. I have a lot of respect for Serbs. As long as there are good people that fight, we have hope. As long as there are good people that are in the trenches, we have hope. I want to play cut 10 of Novak Djokovic reaffirms his COVID-19 stance. This man is a hero and deserves to be platformed. Play cut 10.
Novak, Frank from L'Equipe. Which good news are you waiting exactly from US Open? Exemption or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not vaccinated and I'm not planning to get vaccinated, so the only good news I can have is them removing the mandated green vaccine card or whatever you call it to enter United States or exemption.
Let's talk about Novak Djokovic. He is arguably the best tennis player in the world. I'm not a big tennis fan, but I'm a big fan of his, that's for sure. It's his 21st major. Why would Novak Djokovic be so stubborn about such a thing, prioritizing principle and bodily autonomy over immediate success? What's going on with him? You see, the smug, arrogant activist media, they either ignore him or they smear him. Well, he's won 21 majors. He's won 21 Grand Slams? Okay, I'm sorry. You guys are sending me all this stuff. I don't watch tennis. Okay, he's won 21 Grand Slams. That's the right tennis term, not a major. Okay, major is golf. Not exactly my recreational expertise. So, well, let's talk about Novak Djokovic. Where is he from? Novak Djokovic is Serbian. Now, if you know anything about the history of Serbia and Yugoslavia, you know that they lived under communist rule. Now, the Serbs have a nuanced view of a guy by the name of Tito. Tito was the president of Yugoslavia. He was a communist leader. He was a communist revolutionary statesman. But there was a fair amount of suppression of free speech, of suppression of bodily autonomy, of the clamping down of individual rights and liberties. Some people saw him as authoritarian, other people as a benevolent dictator. But Novak Djokovic certainly realized growing up that that is not the way that human beings should live. So why is Novak Djokovic willing to put up principle over a stupid and silly and meaningless vaccine mandate? Because he does not have a memory of freedom. He knows freedom now, but he has a memory of tyranny. You see, Novak Djokovic was raised by parents that lived under that kind of a regime where they could force you to do something. And Djokovic says, you know what? As long as I'm a tennis player and I'm good, I don't have to comply. God bless him for that. Do you notice how the media just has totally ignored it? He doesn't fit the narrative. You're trying to tell me Novak Djokovic, look at him. I'd rather take health advice from Novak Djokovic than from that overweight doctor that goes on CNN, Bill Gates, or J.B. Pritzker. Something tells me Novak Djokovic is mildly more athletic than J.B. Pritzker. By maybe 300 pounds and a BMI that would be, you have to put an exponent on Novak Djokovic's BMI to hit J.B. Pritzker's. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.